And now for something completely different.
It's great to be back with you. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience. I want to thank you for joining us here. KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California, and I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David today. He's out having a great vacation. He will be back tomorrow, and so we're looking forward to hearing what he has to share with us. You can find the Ministry of Whitefields at whitefields.org. We support national pastors working in some very hard-to-reach areas. We work alongside missionaries and have been doing it since the 1950s, and so thrilled with the opportunities God gives us to help establish churches out in these regions of very rural areas, very hard-to-reach places. I was just sharing with you before we took a break at the top of the hour about the worst-case scenarios and about the Apostle Paul, who was the chief of sinners and was the foremost of sinners, just to show the power of God and how he could deal in Paul's life. You know, Paul had an incredible religious pedigree, but then he found himself being actually a murderer of the followers of Jesus Christ. And for that kind of wide chasm that he felt between having such a strong religious pedigree and yet not understanding who Jesus was and killing his followers, he showed that that was the grace of God working so marvelously. I just was traveling in Uganda, and I heard testimonies of people that have come to faith in Jesus Christ, and it encourages me and thrills my soul. I hope that you are encouraged as well when people find truth in Jesus Christ and realize that his death on the cross provided for us the forgiveness for our sin. And some of these people were from some very, very difficult, terrible backgrounds. I listened to testimonies of people that women that had been married into families, their family was also worshiping evil spirits, but they had been married into families that dedicated them to the evil spirit that their family worshiped. Oftentimes, these were people whose families were practicing also Muslim, Islam. They were people practicing in the Anglican Church or in the Catholic Church. But on Sundays, they were going to those churches, but then Monday through Friday, they were visiting the witch doctors and having ceremonies and sacrifices and bloodshed for these worships of Satan's servants, demons. Some of them had terrible experiences, and eventually they would flee to the church. Sometimes in the case of one young woman, she had been married into a family. The spirits that she had been dedicated to began to torment her terribly, until the point in time at which she had begun to be thrown into convulsions. And then one night during a seizure, she fell face first into a fire, and her face was badly burned and scarred from this episode with her family and friends. When they saw this had happened to her, her family rejected her and sent her away. They viewed it as a sign from the demons, the evil spirits, that they had rejected her and didn't want her. And so she escaped away with a burned and a scarred face. And she was turned away homeless and destitute. Her own family did not really want her back. She had nowhere to go. And so she fled to the church, and there she met our pastor and began to be ministered to by the church members for a long time. She just slept inside the church, fearful of the demons, because she had been told that the evil spirits had the authority and permission to kill her if she were to ever displease them. And so during that period of time, the church members ministered to her, and she came to faith in Jesus Christ. When she came to faith in Jesus Christ, she had no more convulsions, and she has been healthy since then. She still has tremendous scars on her face. But the church members, when we delivered the brick machines to them, they asked their pastor if it would not be possible if they could build her a house. And when Pastor Onesimus asked me, he said, do you think this would work to build Christine a house? I said, I think it's a wonderful, marvelous expression of compassion to the church and with the church and to the community. And so we arrived, they began building this house and making the bricks. They had to make over 3,000 bricks. That became quite a scene in the community because brick making there usually takes anywhere from 6 to 7 months to lay out the mud bricks, stack them in stacks, and then you have to burn about 50 trees to bake the bricks. And it's a long, long process. And local people there to build a house out of bricks takes quite a bit of wealth. But Christine is completely destitute. She's a laborer. She builds and works, digs, and earns maybe a few dollars a day at the most. And so there was no hope for her to have a permanent house. So the idea was maybe that she would get a stick and mud house. That would be a tremendous blessing for her. But we said we would use the bricks and we would build with the bricks. And so we started that process on a Monday. They started making the bricks. By the end of the week, they had enough bricks, over 3,000 bricks made. Even the local government officials began to come by. They wanted to see this project and what was happening. How can you build a house from bricks that you just started making on Monday? And you're going to start laying the bricks on the following week. And sure enough, it was happening. And so they began to come. Members of Christine's family began to travel. And I met some of those family members who had come from far away, up and over the mountain to come and see what was happening because they had heard the church was building Christine a house. And so they came to see that this was happening. And then the week that we were there, the house began to be built. The walls were being, the bricks were being laid and the walls were building and windows, even metal welded windows were being installed and a metal door. And Christine came and in Ruchiga shared with us her testimony about having been demon-possessed and having run and been rescued by the church and how Jesus had forgiven her and had cleansed her and had made her whole. What a delightful person she was. But then she shared this story. She said, you know, there was a man and he was saying to me, where is your God? You say you are a Christian, but you are poor, you are destitute, you don't have a house. And where is your God? There is no God. She said, well, last month when I heard that the church was going to build me a house, I went to this man and said, you wanted to know where is your God? Well, I want to tell you that my God is building me a house. And not a stick and mud house, but a brick house with windows, with glass windows, and with a metal door. And this man gave his life to Jesus Christ in faith. He said, you serve a living God. That was one of the things that we did. That story will be up on our website, and you'll be able to hear that. And we will be putting up even a video of Christine very soon here that we'll be able to share her story in her own words. One other project that we did there in Uganda was to build a water tank and to help a church out in Katonia last year when I was there in July. We were there and we helped the local church members, the Christians that were gathered together in a village called Katonia. We purchased with them a piece of property and they had begun to build little wood benches and little sticks, kind of poles, wood poles, and they would come out on Sunday morning and stretch a blue tarp over that. And there's some pictures of that up at our website and these little wood posts. And these people would gather on Sunday morning and they would worship underneath the blue tarp in this place. Well, this year, the Lord blessed that we were able to bring the brick machine and begin building bricks to build a water tank. And then we installed a foundation eventually for future walls. But in the meantime, we helped them install some metal posts that will put a roof, and they'll have a tin roof over them. And what a joy to see the people in this church out at the Katonia Village so thrilled that someone would care enough about them to come help them build a roof so that they can be out of the rain, out of the sun when they come together. And the new roof will allow rainwater to be harvested into the water tank. And then they took the water tank. They will share that with all of their neighbors. Well, this just opened many, many doors for sharing the gospel. It was in this very village, in fact, that last time I was there, I met Abudu. Abudu came. He was an older man in his 80s, and he was wandering around with us, and he wanted to know why the Muzinga, the white man, why is he here? What is he doing? And we shared with him that we were going to build a Christian church. He was so excited at that time that he turned around and hugged me, and he said, "I've been praying for you to come." When I asked him why he was praying for me to come, he said, "Well, I want to know more about Jesus." And I thought, if there was a church near me in this place, we would be able to learn more about Jesus. Well, he has been attending the Wednesday Bible studies, and they've been studying the Gospel of Matthew. And I was able to share with Abudu about Jesus Christ and to hear what he is learning. And he has learned that Jesus is the Creator, and Jesus had come to earth to save me from my sin. And so we began to share about that with him. And my last day with him, I was able to bring him a gift of a Bible. And he now has a Bible in his own language that he's able to read. That is exciting stuff, folks. When we get to share in that way and see the gospel being opened up to people all around the world. You are listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego. I am Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back, and we're going to share about some of the current events happening in our day.
From the San Diego studios of K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ, this is the David Spoon Experience.
Sometimes we want to tackle things on our own, like fixing a leaky toilet or duct taping a small crack. Other times we need to skip the do-it-yourself attitude and get somebody who knows what they're doing so the job gets done right. Excalibur Roofing gets the job done right for new roof construction, old roof replacements, and repairs. With over 20 years of experience, an active member in the BBB, licensed and bonded, and testimonials from people just like you, Excalibur Roofing is your knight in shining armor. There's a big difference between a general contractor and a roofing contractor. You want a roofing contractor like Eric at Excalibur Roofing. Otherwise, it's just like going to the family pediatrician and saying, "Doc, I need some brain surgery, so just pull out that scalpel and get her done." Not a smooth move. Get it done right. Just call Excalibur Roofing at 760-743-8803. That's 760-743-8803. Or go to their website at excaliburroofing.com. All estimates are free. Call Eric at 760-743-8803. Remember, Excalibur Roofing, they've got you covered. This segment brought to you by Subaru El Cajon and Mazda El Cajon and our fantastic friend Chris George, who's the general manager of both dealerships. Now, you might be thinking, well, you mean there's two dealerships that I can go to but deal with one person? Yes. Are you telling me that they have fantastic service? Yes. Are you telling me that I'll be doing business with a Christian who might even pray with me before I even do my deal? Yes. And I'm telling you that that service department has helped me, oh my goodness, tons. Here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. If you want to buy a car, if you want to get service on your car, if you want to have the opportunity to talk to somebody who understands the car business, you either go to Subaru El Cajon or Mazda-ElCajon.com, or go to Google, type in Subaru El Cajon and see what Google pulls up. Guess what? It'll be there. SubaruElCajon.com. Not complex. Both dealerships are at 900 Arnell Avenue. Both dealerships can be reached at 800-418-4444. And both dealerships will help you find the car you want, give service to the car you want, and let you have the experience you want to have in buying and or even selling them your car. Here's the deal. You're doing business with brothers and sisters in the Lord. That is a great element in the car realm. Subaru El Cajon and Mazda El Cajon. Go there. Tell me you heard it on the David Spoon Experience. Say hi to Chris George and be pleased with your car buying experience.
This is Lonhee Chen of the Hoover Institution for townhall.com. It's another day and we have more bad news about Obamacare. Some of the nation's largest insurers have decided they don't want to sell insurance on the law's health insurance exchanges. The latest? Aetna recently announced it would no longer offer plans on Obamacare's marketplaces in almost all of the states it currently serves. The insurer quit because Obamacare is a bad deal for them. And it's a bad deal for consumers, too. In many states, patients are facing far more limited choices on Obamacare's exchanges. In some places, they don't even have a choice. Unfortunately, all of this was predictable. Obamacare's marketplaces rely on the younger and healthier to subsidize the costs of the older and sicker. That, in addition to government subsidies, to help incentivize insurers to participate. When Republicans in Congress blocked the subsidies and largely higher-cost patients showed up to buy health insurance, Obamacare's exchanges were doomed. A majority of Americans remain opposed to the law. We shouldn't be surprised. I'm Lonhee Chen.
I laughed once when I read that being a husband is like any other job. It helps if you like the boss. There is no end to jokes about marriage, about how husbands and wives work out their relationship. But fortunately, the Bible provides a proven plan for building a lifelong relationship. Just as Christ is head of the church, the Bible says husbands are the head of their marriage. But that doesn't mean the boss. It means husbands serve and love their wives just as Christ serves and loves the church. It works for Christ and the church, and it will work for marriages too. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's plan for husbands on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com and get your roadmap for life. Route 66, start your journey home today.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
You are listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David today. He's going to be back tomorrow, so make sure you tune in and listen and have a great time wherever you are finishing out your afternoon. It's a beautiful day outside. I was just looking outside. I do not see even one cloud in the sky from where I'm looking, and we do live in San Diego. What a great place to live. My grandson has been down visiting me, which means I get to go places I normally would not have a reason to go. We spent a day at Legoland. I had no idea. My kids grew up. We haven't been there for a long time, and I got to spend the day wandering around with him. And San Diego, what a place to live. We just have a great place here. Well, as promised before we took a break, I was going to get into some current event. It's actually something that was said last week. This is a little bit politics, but actually it's not politics. I think about politics a lot because we're a democracy. We get to vote for our leaders and we complain about them. I do have some friends in politics in the level of like a mayor. One time he was headed to a meeting and he'd stopped in a coffee shop in our town and I was sitting there and he came over and he said to me where he was going. And I said, oh, that doesn't sound like it's going to be good. I said, no matter what you decide, 50% or half of the people are going to hate you. And he said, yeah, that's quite true. And if you decide the other way, then the other 50% will hate you. But there are actual differences in our issues of politics and a democracy. We, the people, need to be engaged. But every now and then, politics actually enters into my world. That's why I'm going to talk about it today for a moment on KPRZ. Because on K-Praise Radio here, we talk about the truth and the Bible truth. And last week, I heard a statement that was made James Carville said this. James Carville was representing the Clintons, and he was talking in defense of the Clinton Foundations. And this is the statement that he made. I want you to focus your attention. I'm not going to talk about the foundations. I'm not going to talk about whether they should be investigated or whether they do good or whether they're doing something bad. That really isn't the issue right now. What James Carville said was, in defense of someone calling for an investigation and that investigation might stop the good things happening, he said, "Someone's going to hell for this." That was his defense. In other words, he was putting what you might say the fear of God into whoever might call for an investigation into the foundation, because lots of people are being helped and saved. And I believe I even heard Bill Clinton said that, you know, if they get in the way of the foundation, this charity, that some people will die. But it's the phrase that James Carville said, that someone is going to hell for this. And I believe, if I researched this correctly, he was quoting his sixth grade Catholic teacher. I don't know who the teacher was, and it's not a matter of dealing with them. But it was to use the idea that someone will go to hell if you meddle in or mess up our good charity that's going on. And that, to me, brought something to mind. Number one, usually I hear from that side of the political forum that anyone who refers to someone going to hell is rotten, evil, you're angry, you're bitter, and you're judgmental. Maybe you have heard that as well at some point, where you have realized that someone is saying to you, when you try to say that what you are doing is sin, they will say to you, "Don't judge me." If a pastor, and I've heard this on Larry King's interviews quite often, when he tries to ask one of the conservative pastors something about, if you don't believe in Jesus, are you saying that people will go to hell if they don't believe in Jesus? Or if someone is involved in sexual immorality, are they going to go to hell for that? And it's used as a derogatory thing, where they're saying you're not allowed to judge people and you're not allowed to accuse people of going to hell. And of course, that's not what those men, those pastors, those preachers are doing at all. When a pastor legitimately and rightly identifies to us, the Bible says, if you do not do this, you're going to spend eternity in separation from God. You're going to spend eternity in hell. It is not a derogatory thing to throw in someone's face. It should always be a compelling, gracious request to them, don't make the wrong choices in life. There is a consequence to the things that you're doing while you are alive. There is an eternal destiny. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, C.H. Spurgeon, put it this way. It's a quote that I have spent a lot of time thinking over, because it's the heart and soul of the ministry that I do in trying to raise up churches all around the world. And Charles Spurgeon said this: if sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go unwarned and unprayed for. See, that's what we should be doing, is praying for the lost. Now, I don't know how God works that all out in his plans for election and sovereignty and the predestination and all the things going on. But I do know that the Apostle Paul asked people to pray that the doors of the hearts and the hearts might be opened, and that the doors would be opened for the gospel. And so we know that we should be praying for those that are lost. I also want to draw your attention in this regard to a story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 31. I don't have time in this segment to explore all the nuances of this passage, but Jesus told a story, and it was a warning about hell. It was not a declaration of you are going to hell. It was a warning to people to say, don't go to hell. Don't go there. And he tells the story about two men. Two men, one was a rich man and one was Lazarus. It's a phenomenal story. It's got some wonderful truths in it. The first point to set it up is this. Our life right now is a preparation for eternity. You see, what we are doing now and what we believe and what we present will determine where we are going to go for eternity. So when we come back, I'm going to explore this story with you just a little bit, Luke chapter 16. If you're not driving your car, you can grab a Bible. If you're driving your car, keep your hands on the wheels. But I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David Spoon. You are listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
This is David Spoon here with my friend Jason David to tell you about an incredible youth conference, I Am Untitled.
Some of San Diego's best bands and speakers are coming together Labor Day weekend to inspire and equip teens and young adults to live radically for Jesus.
If you're a parent or a pastor, this is a life-changing event that your child or your student shouldn't miss.
I Am Untitled features 2 days of passionate worship, powerful preaching, practical workshops, and state-of-the-art productions of cinematic film, live theater, pyrotechnics and laser shows, presenting the gospel in fresh and captivating ways.
I Am Untitled is September 2nd and 3rd at Bonita Valley Community Church. Tickets are on sale now for up to 50% off, and here's the best part. If your church buys 10 tickets, then your church will receive unlimited tickets for the rest of your youth group.
To take advantage of this deal, go online to IamUntitled.com.
Register your child or your student today at IamUntitled.com. This segment brought to you by Whitefields Ministries and our very good friend Steve Wheeler. You can reach Whitefields by calling them at 760-846-8610. That's 760-846-8610. I'll tell you why you want to get in touch with them. Because this ministry advances the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world by helping support pastors who go to these faraway villages and they plant churches where nobody's ever heard of Jesus, and they make proclamation of the gospel to people who have never heard. Another great ministry in Whitefields is they go into these villages and they help these villages move their drinking systems from cesspools to filtered water, and they don't charge a thing to do that. When they do that and offer that for the village, people from the village say, "Why are you doing that?" And then they answer with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can go to whitefields.org and read the hundreds and hundreds of testimonies, the different prayer requests, and different people reaching out to all people all over the world with the gospel, and you'll be blessed just for reading it. I don't want you to say, "Yes, I'm going to be a part of this ministry," without checking them out, praying about it, and making sure it's what the Lord wants you to do. Whitefields.org. Go ahead, find out if that's something that the Lord draws you to. Respond to it at that point. I think you'll be blessed. I know my wife and I have been.
Wouldn't it be wonderful as though you'd never committed a sin in your whole life?
Billy Graham says that can happen. You see, the Bible says every single one of us has missed the mark of perfection that God has set for us. In other words, we've all sinned. And the scary thing about sin is there's no way to escape it.
We cannot do it ourselves. It's impossible. You can work all your life and do good works and pay money to the church, but that won't justify you.
There is hope, though. God came to earth as a man named Jesus Christ. He was executed and then came back to life. So if you admit that you're sinful, that you aren't perfect, and then surrender your life to Jesus, you'll live forever with God in heaven.
Are you sure that that experience has been yours? You have to repent of sin and receive Christ into your own heart?
Learn more at BillyGrahamRadio.org. Click on Grow Your Faith. That's at BillyGrahamRadio.org.
And now, with today's Moment of Destiny, here's Pastor Paul Shepherd.
Jesus has never yet seen a hopeless situation.
He has never yet looked at somebody and said, oh. I love you and all, but I don't care if your life has shattered into a million pieces. Jesus made all the pieces.
He knows where they go. He created you. He formed you. And although life has shattered you, people have disappointed you, Satan has oppressed you, Jesus says, my power is greater than anything you face.
Pastor Paul Shepherd is the senior pastor of Destiny Christian Fellowship in Northern California. The program is heard daily on radio stations across America and anytime at PastorPaul.net.
Local, national, and heavenly talk for San Diego on the David Spoon Experience from K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience, and I want to thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM. Boy, what a great segment of sponsors and sharing a great explanation of the gospel by Billy Graham as well. That's what we've been talking about here. We were just sharing about how some people might say something like, you're going to hell, and they might say it in a derogatory way as kind of a cursing matter or for some kind of defensive. And yet there's a reality that we want to share with people. You do not need to go to that eternal destiny. The Bible has written clearly for you what you need to do. And Jesus told this story, and there is indeed, Jesus shares, a place that is torment that you don't want to go. It was in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. I just wanted to bring out some principles of this and some encouragement as well at the very end and as well. Because the setup is this, that this life is our preparation for eternity. When you die, you do not have the opportunity to change your plans and to change your destiny. God says right now, this day, this is the time for salvation. And that's why we need to pay attention to this. And that's why Jesus told this story, because he tells a story about two men and they both die. You might wonder, why tell a story that's so morbid? And yet Jesus is telling this story, and it's because by listening to Jesus tell the story, you can make the right choices right now in your life. And you can also be involved in sharing the good news with other people. And that's what he's encouraging you to do. Learn something from these people and what they did. And the first one is this, is that he's a rich man. And that's all we know about him. We don't have a name. All we know was that he was exceedingly rich. He was very rich. He was richer than rich could be. He was the wealthiest man of all around, and he feasted every day, all the time. He was dressed in purple and fine linen. That would have been very expensive clothing, and that's what we know about him. And moreover, there was a poor man then who was carried and laid at his doorstep, and at his gate was laid this poor man. And here's what's very significant, is the poor man has a name. His name was Lazarus. Now, if you go search your scriptures, you will find that this is the only parable Jesus tells that he ever gives a name to a person in the story. Go search it out. You'll find out that because Jesus named this man, it's very important that we take a look at what his name means, because it means someone dependent on God, or God, literally, God has helped. El Azar is the Greek form of that. And so what we find is this sick beggar who was in deep poverty, who was helpless, neglected by his privileged fellow men, was helped by God. That gives me encouragement. It makes me realize and understand that God never looks down and says, you're too poor for me to mess with. I shared earlier in the show about the Apostle Paul, and we expressed the fact that he was the foremost sinner. God will never look down and say, I'm sorry. You're too far gone. And so we find that Lazarus was helped, and Jesus then shares the nature of their death. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. That would have shocked the listeners, because they would have assumed that the poor man was not blessed by God. That's why he was poor. But that's not why he was poor. In fact, sometimes it is the poor people who have a better openness to hear the message of the gospel because they have nothing else. And when you offer them the free gift of eternal salvation in Jesus Christ, and they hear that their sins can be forgiven by believing in the death of Jesus Christ, they confess and repent and they believe in Jesus Christ. And what a rich transformation in their lives occurs. And so Lazarus is carried to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. The end. That's it. Now that would have shocked the listeners in Jesus' day. They would have assumed that the rich man was the blessed one and the poor man was unblessed, but it's not that way. And then what we find here is that the transition permanently establishes everything. Death permanently establishes everything. The poor man is at the Abraham's bosom. The wealthy man who also died is in a place of torment, and there is a chasm between them, and the contrast between their destinations demonstrates you don't want to go to hell. That's the point here. That's why Jesus is sharing this. This man who was wealthy and who was rich and who feasted lavishly every day of his life believes that he would be satisfied. By the way, notice that he's still quite selfish, wanting everything for himself. But he believes that he would be satisfied if Lazarus would just dip the tip of his finger in some water and touch it to his tongue. That demonstrates all that lavish feasting that this man once enjoyed is now worthless to him. If he could just have a few drops of water, he would be satisfied. But that is not to be. Abraham expresses to him, you cannot come here, Lazarus cannot come to you. And then the man thinks, if that's the case, then you must send Lazarus, I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house. I find this to be a bit selfish as well, because he doesn't want Lazarus to go share with the whole world. He just wants him to go back to his house and tell his brothers, don't let them come to this place of torment. Share with them. And Abraham says to him, and this is critical in verse 29, and I hope it will be encouraging to you if you want to be a witness for Jesus Christ. He says, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Now, Moses and the prophets are not alive at the time that Jesus is writing. What Jesus is referring to is they have the Bible. They have the scriptures. They have what Moses wrote. They have what the prophets wrote. And in those scriptures, you will find what they need to know so that they will not make the same choices that you have made, and their eternal destiny will not be the same as what you are experiencing. And so the man says, no, Father Abraham. Can you imagine that? Here he is in torment. Abraham is there, and he doesn't agree with Father Abraham. Instead, he says, no, Father Abraham. And he makes this proposal. But if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. Now, here's where it's really critical for you to understand a point here. You can be a witness for Jesus Christ. God can use you. You do not have to die and be raised from the dead. You don't have to have some spectacular, amazing thing that has happened in your life. What Abraham says, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. What do you need to have in place in order to be a good witness? You need to know how to share with someone from the Bible how they can place their faith in Jesus Christ. That's exactly what Jesus did in Luke chapter 24, verse 27. He was actually raised from the dead, but he meets the disciples out on the Emmaus Road, and he does not expose to them that he is the resurrected Lord. Instead, they walk along with him, and amazingly enough, Cleopas asks, are you the only one that was in Jerusalem that doesn't know what happened there? I think Jesus would answer, no, Cleopas, I'm the only one that was in Jerusalem that does know what happened there. I died so that you could believe and be forgiven for your sins. What an amazing principle. Jesus then teaches them in Luke chapter 24, verse 27, the resurrected Jesus gives to them an Old Testament Bible study. He shows them from the scriptures how the Messiah, how he needed to suffer and to die. And it is that belief, that faith, when we place our faith in that, that we can have our sins forgiven. You see, the Bible is not just a record of random events. It's not written by authors like a history, but rather it is a clear revelation of God explaining how we can be redeemed from our slavery to sin by faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. When we place our faith in the promised sacrifice, the Lamb of God, we can be reconciled with God, we can have a relationship restored, and you can then go forth and share that same record, that same truth. Everything that Moses and the prophets shared, you can go out and share. You don't have to be able to produce some grand miracle. You can just go forth and share the greatest miracle of all, and that is the Bible, recorded over 1,600 years, and yet with the great unity and wonderment that Jesus Christ died for our sins. That is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we're going around the world and sharing. I hope that you will join us in that if you know Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, I hope that you will find someone that can share with you very clearly and fully what it means to believe in Jesus Christ. I am Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David Spoon. You are listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California. When we come back, I'm going to share with you some of the most exciting stories about missionaries in our history. I want to share those with you.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
This segment brought to you by our good friend Sam Rasul. Sam Rasul, one of the top agents in the United States of America in regards to real estate. Here's something you might not know. If you're selling your house and you're thinking, I need to put some money into my house, but I can't afford it, fantastic that you've heard about Sam Rasul. You go to thinksam.com or call him at 858-780-1SAM. You talk to Sam. If you list your house with Sam, he will forward up to $25,000 for you to fix up the house. And then at the close of escrow, when you sell it, he takes that money back but doesn't charge any interest. Also, if you buy or sell a house through Sam, he takes 25% of that commission and he gives it to whatever church, charity, or ministry you desire. On top of that, if you get in touch with Sam and you're thinking, I'd love to hear the story of how a Muslim becomes a Christian, then you also want to talk to Sam because that's one of the things he's well known for in San Diego, sharing his testimony, how he got from point A to point B, a fantastic story. ThinkSam.com. That's his website. ThinkSam.com. 858-780-1SAM. 858-780-1SAM.
This may come as a bit of a surprise, but other people have problems in their marriage just like you.
This is Real Family Life with Dennis Rainey. It's Monday, August 29th.
My wife and I have several older couples that have been role models for us in our marriage and great encouragement to just hang in there and go the distance in our marriage relationship.
Marriages can benefit greatly from that kind of counsel. Unfortunately, many of us are unwilling to accept it. We live in a culture of self-sufficiency and tend to think that asking for help would be shameful. But every marriage has its struggles, and we all need help and support from others. It's especially important for newlyweds to hook up with an older mentor couple. When a husband and a wife encounter conflict, it can be easy for them to think, we're the only ones who've ever had this problem. Talking with others, however, can help a young couple realize that they're not the only ones who have ever dealt with these tough issues. One final thought. I want to challenge you to seek out an older couple that you and your mate both respect. Get together and be honest about the struggles you're dealing with. You'll realize that no matter what issue you're facing, you are most likely not alone. I'm Dennis Rainey, And that's real family life.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David today. You can find our ministry at whitefields.org. We are supporting national pastors reaching out with the gospel in very rural places around the world. That is always in my life, and I come from a heritage of missionaries. I remember sitting at the feet of my mother's uncle, Uncle Robert. He was a missionary to China, had to be rescued out of China during the Communist Revolution, and we come from five generations of missionaries. And that's one of the reasons why in my children's years of growing up, we always made missionary biographies available around to them. It's just a great thing. We were talking in the last segment about being a witness for Jesus Christ. I think sometimes people do think that only heroes, only missionary heroes, are the only people that can share the gospel. But I was trying to encourage you in that segment that you too could be a witness, and you could should share the gospel as well. But it's also encouraging to us to read the testimonies and stories of some of the great people that have gone before us. I could give you some names of some of them, like David Brainerd. He was a missionary to the Native Americans right here in our own country. You could also look up William Carey. Find a biography about William Carey and read that, or Adoniram Judson. There's some great biographies as well that are written for children, that are young people's, by YWAM, Youth with a Mission, has a great series called Heroes of the Faith, and they're wonderful stories. Hudson Taylor is one of my favorites over the years. He's been such a great a testimony of faith. My great-great-great-grandfather was in China as a missionary at the same time and was the stepfather of Hudson Taylor's first wife. It was quite an experience recognizing their connection there. But Hudson Taylor learned something very important about his missionary work before he left for the field, and that was the importance of prayer. And I'll tell you, that has been an important benchmark of what Whitefields does as well. We produce prayer reports from every one of our pastors, and I am always excited when I hear from our pastors, because they give praise for answers to prayer. They know that the prayers of the people here are being answered by God. And that was something that Adoniram Judson learned as well. One story that he shares in his in a biography, chapter 3, Preparation for Service in Hudson Taylor's Men of Faith series. His kind employer was always busily occupied, and he wished me to remind him whenever my salary became due. And Hudson decided that he would determine not to do that directly, but to ask that God would bring the fact to his employer's recollection. It was a great story that goes on, because he thus was encouraging himself by seeing God answer prayer. And at one time, as the day drew near for the payment of quarter salary, I was, as usual, much in prayer about it. The time arrived, his kind friend, his employer, made no allusion to the matter. He didn't pay him. The time passed. The Saturday night came. The weekly accounts had been overlooked and deposited. And he found that he himself possessed only a single coin. In Great Britain, he had only a single coin, one half-crown piece. And this is entering into the weekend, and he has been praying, and his employer had not paid him, and he is now going to test the fact of prayer. And he then on that weekend preaches on Sunday, but then he is called to go to the home of a man who comes to get him, whose wife is dying. She's very ill. She has just given birth to a baby. And there lies a baby about 36 hours old, and he realizes what this woman needs is some food. She needs some milk,
And he asked if the man had been able to give or provide, and there was not even a penny in this house. And then he goes through, Hudson Taylor goes through a lamenting process where he wishes that he didn't have one coin, but he had, you know, like if we had a quarter, we wish we had two dimes and a nickel, that kind of a thing. He would have gladly given the nickel. He would have gladly given the dime and the nickel. But eventually he just runs out of the ability to provide anything. And so it is that we have to learn to trust in prayer. It's a good experience. We've been here on the David Spoon Experience. I want to thank you for joining us today. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David right here on KPRZ 1210 AM. Thanks for listening. David will be back tomorrow. Look forward to connecting all with you again. I have to praise you like I should.